basically overnight you can turn on just, you know, go from a spigot to a waterfall of information carried over these networks.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
Hey, with Evan Kerstell, Chief Digital Evangelist and co-founder of Avira Health, and Irma Rastagaya, Chief Digital Storyteller and co-founder of Avira Health. Evan, Irma, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Jordan. Good to be here.
Sure. So the first question I'd like to pose to you, since you are digital storytellers, digital evangelists, I'd like to ask you primarily about healthcare delivery systems and growing trends in the healthcare IT space. As healthcare delivery systems and provider organizations begin to take on more risk for managing population health, engaging patients in their own care plan and driving healthy patient behaviors have taken on new importance. What sort of recommendations might you have for healthcare organizations looking to generate digital content to engage their patient populations?
Sure, I can take that one. As a long-term patient advocate, 30-plus years, and as an engaged, empowered patient myself, known as e-patient, my recommendation to healthcare systems and to technology providers in general would be to engage one of their most important stakeholders, which is patient population, to engage them as early as possible in the process of developing technology or deploying technology that they want to use to help patients. So one of the complaints I hear often, including on social media and in person from patients, is that they are not brought in early enough in the process. And then they are offered solutions that might not be best to help them take control of their health. So that's suggestion number one, is to get patients themselves and care partners involved in the process early on. Part two is to listen to ongoing feedback from patients as they are given tools, documentation, training, education, etc. Listen to that feedback. What's working for patients? What's not? What could be improved upon? What they want more of when it comes to resources and education? Are they being considered as real valuable partners in this whole healthcare enterprise?
So Irma, I'm hearing you say that a healthcare delivery system should engage patients early on and listen to feedback. What sort of content should healthcare delivery systems leverage to engage patients better?
Well, I think that really depends on what stage of the process patients will be interacting with them with. So is this a digital front door? Is it patient education on a specific condition? Is this something that patients will be given as a follow-up to the visit or to the surgery, for example? Is it a care plan? So it really depends on what stage of the engagement this is happening. And so I think maybe I've been too much in the patient world and patient advocacy world from my perspective. Maybe I'm diving too deep into this. Evan, from your perspective of a patient that doesn't have so many touch points with the healthcare system, would you have a different perspective?
Yeah, I think for me, it's about education, and consuming content that educates, informs, and give me guidance. It's so confusing as a patient, the technology, the terminology, the medical speak, the interacting with the healthcare system, even the apps and websites that we use can be pretty poorly designed. And so simplification, education, communicating in everyday speak through video, through the channels that we all know and are comfortable with, like text messaging and apps in a consumable format. And we have to sort of demystify the medical and healthcare systems for patients so they can really get direction, guidance, and understand their healthcare process. And that's sorely lacking in many of today's systems.
So I'm hearing that in order to engage patients, we have to engage them early, listen to feedback, and provide them with education. I'd like to move on to other topics. In the content that you've published digitally through Avira Health, you've listed a number of different trends that you've identified across the healthcare space that you see the health IT going in the United States. I'd like to kind of punch through some of these items and see some of your thoughts. So one of these topics that you've mentioned is connectivity and telemedicine. You've written in particular about the effect of fifth generation or 5G technology on the healthcare industry, which is facilitating telemedicine applications to be more widely deployed and utilized for more conditions and use cases. How are these applications being leveraged by large healthcare delivery organizations, and where do you see that going?
Well, it's going in a positive direction. I think 5G isn't just another G. It's actually a complete new rethink of networking and communications infrastructure. If you go into your average hospital today, the Wi-Fi is pretty terrible. The indoor coverage is pretty bad. It's sometimes you can't get a signal, much less broadband or video to allow hospital communications over video communication for telehealth. And 5G, particularly private 5G, where you can have within a hospital system a private dedicated 5G network, it allows you to reinvent and refresh the entire healthcare IT infrastructure, which is usually pretty old, you know, in terms of the wiring, in terms of the Wi-Fi network that's been put in place. And when you look at, you know, just look at intersystems and the amount of data that's generated, you need an advanced network to, you know, transmit, manage, store, and interoperate. And these require advanced networking technologies, and 5G is, you know, the right time, the right place to upgrade that entire infrastructure and enable these services. Yep.
Evan, could you tell about some of the benefits and drawbacks of hospitals who are looking to implement 5G? What are some of the challenges and costs, and what are some of the value propositions of investing in a new IT infrastructure with a private 5G network in a hospital?
Well, it's a little bit new and novel, so it's not as off the shelf as Wi-Fi is, where everyone can basically go and buy off the shelf components from almost like a Best Buy and deploy a network. So you need a partner who understands the 5G network and can design it specifically for your hospital environment. So that's a little bit new, but the benefits are you're taking advantage of an entire ecosystem, new apps, new devices, kind of tablets, phones, and other kinds of video endpoints that can leverage this new kind of network, whether it's private or just the public network. And it means a better experience for the patients in their rooms, the visitors, and, you know, nurses, doctors, and others trying to run the hospital increasingly on these outdated networks.
Have you found that any hospitals or healthcare delivery organizations have had improved quality outcomes or improved returns on investment with investing in a 5G network? Or is that data, is the whole system too new for there to have been quality metrics and outcomes that have been assessed with these private 5G networks?
I think it's too new for specific outcomes, but we have seen major benefits in manufacturing and related industries, finance and financial tech, where, you know, basically overnight you can turn on go from a spigot to a waterfall of information carried over these networks. And increasingly, you know, it's the way forward. You're just going to run into bottlenecks as, you know, increasingly video is used, as we get more and more digital health applications, as we have the Internet of Things on your body that generate data. You know, today's networks just can't physically, you know, scientifically keep up with the amount of data being generated in the hospital or between hospitals.
Let's talk about IIoT, which for our listeners is Industrial Internet of Things. How is the Internet of Things being leveraged in the healthcare setting today? And I also kind of want to tie that into another topic that I know Irma and Evan, you've both previously covered in content that you've published, which is mixed reality. You've mentioned there's a multitude of applications for augmented reality, virtual reality, and mixed reality in medicine, from training for medical students across many specialties to immersive learning, remote surgery, and physical rehab and patient education. So where are you seeing these mixed reality applications and also throwing into the mix IIoT?
Yeah, Irma, do you want to take a stab at that one and I'll chime in?
Yeah, I'll talk about IoT or not just industrial Internet of Things, but Internet of Medical Things, which is also one of the terms that we use in the industry. So, and then I'll talk a little bit about 3D and virtual twins, and then Evan can finish up with the with that whole multiverse aspect potentially. So Internet of Medical Things, I think, has become a more wide known term, as well as IoT, Internet of Things, because of the rise in a variety of personal wearable devices that are collecting health data, and things like remote patient monitoring, which has actually been in existence for a decade or more, but had gained more visibility and more traction during the COVID pandemic. So remote patient monitoring, for people who are not familiar, is the ability to do just that, monitor patients in their home settings or outside of the hospital or the doctor's office. And that could include collecting their vitals, keeping track on their activity, their blood pressure, with some devices like, you know, smart watches, perhaps even take a look at their, you know, heart health in terms of cardiogram, certainly, you know, oxygen saturation with devices like the Oura Ring, just some of the examples. So we talk about all this connectivity and these devices talking over wireless networks, and Wi-Fi, just, you know, that's the Internet of Things or Internet of Medical Things when you're looking at medical data and vitals. So I think there is a lot more work to be done from the healthcare systems perspective to make sense of this data. So there's some health-related data that is just for patients to kind of look at to get a gauge of, you know, maybe how many steps they've done, how is the activity level, what kind of sleep are they getting? And then, of course, there is really medical information that should be delivered to physicians for remote patient monitoring. So I think there is a lot of work to be done to develop actionable insights from this data, and as well as find ways to fit the barrage of this data into current workflow of physicians and providers. So the goal here is, of course, to increase touch points between the healthcare system and the provider and the patient, so that for chronic conditions like diabetes, like heart disease, we don't have just the once every few months touch point without having any visibility into what patient's lifestyle is and how that affects their day-to-day health and well-being, whether that's being, you know, blood sugar level for diabetics or their blood pressure, etc. So that's just one area. I said I'll talk about virtual twins.
I'd like to pause for a second, Irma, and make this more concrete for our listeners. You mentioned a whole variety of different examples of how remote patient monitoring could be implemented today. I'm wondering if either of you have any anecdotes of these actually being implemented either with customers or any other stories that you might know in order to make these use cases more concrete for our listeners.
Well, maybe Evan, do you want to talk a little bit about our friends at Still Life and how they use existing robot networks to gather a whole ton of patient data?
That's a great example of that. And I think even you mentioned the Oura Ring, Irma. We're big fans and wearers of the Oura Ring, which is a kind of health and wellness ring wearable device that was actually used in a clinical setting with the NBA to actually monitor very, very sensitive temperature variations as a way to determine or detect early stage COVID. And that was successfully used. You can look at, you know, just fractions of a degree in temperature over some number of days means you likely have an illness, specifically COVID. So, you know, examples like that are being used in clinical settings in a variety of ways. And in addition to being slowly accepted in mainstream use cases.
And then maybe slightly different example to give is, you mentioned telehealth, so we haven't spoken specifically here about the telehealth, but there is obviously applications of telehealth are many. So probably the very simple example is just moving the patient encounter or visit to the doctor from in-person to remote because of the COVID pandemic. That's how this had become so much more available. Now almost every doctor offers that as an option. But what about telementoring? So we actually just spoke to the chief nursing officer at Microsoft the other day, and they're using a lot of telementoring for nurses. So this is where a nurse, a less experienced nurse particularly, could be at patient side, for example, in a hospital setting, and then a much more experienced, a specialized nurse could be brought in through telepresence to give guidance and to help in training and advising that that nurse that is at bedside. So we see a lot of things like that. So that could also be in surgery, you mentioned. So a lot of opportunities to bring in people together through virtual environments to offer advice, help, training. And then, so just one other example I'll mention in terms of virtual twins, and then Evan can talk about more of the, you know, VR extended reality applications. So I've just written about the virtual twin example of the living heart. So that is basically a digital model of a human heart in all the details, including you know, the musculature, the innervation, blood vessels, as well as all the dynamics of, you know, everything that's in the heart system. And that's being used now to train surgeons to plan for surgeries, especially pediatric surgeries, given that almost every pediatric deformity is very different. It's not standardized, so you need approaches to personalize that care. So I'll stop here. I know we only have a few minutes left. Evan, do you want to talk about extended reality applications?
Yeah, I mean, people talk about the metaverse, which has gotten mixed reviews, but increasingly the aspects of the metaverse, like augmented reality, virtual reality, are being used today in real settings, whether it's our favorite surgeon on Twitter, Rafael Grossman, who does planning of surgeries, who does medical education and does patient communication through virtual reality headsets, in, you know, pre-op and post-op. There are amazing use cases of VR in all aspects of the kind of workflow. And this is real. This is being done today by surgeons. There's value add. There was, you know, the first Google Glass surgeon a number of years back, and they've only progressed the use of these wearable headsets for hands-free surgery, for creating a lookable database online accessible during surgery, and on and on. So, you know, what we think of as kind of the future and a lot of hype is actually being deployed in practical reality today by surgeons.
And of course, 5G is a very important enabling technology for things like that.
And medical robotics and other situations which are kind of mission critical, like an ER, an OR, and other scenarios.
Thank you for addressing those different themes. We have a variety of other themes that I know you've listed. I just want to list them out for our listeners since we won't have time to get to all them. Reducing employer healthcare costs, artificial intelligence, especially for early diagnostics in the radiology suite, digital therapeutics, care personalization with 3D printing, alternatives to opioids, connected healthcare. We just covered and digitizing clinical trials. We only have a few minutes left of this particular podcast episode. And again, keeping in mind our audience of healthcare delivery system chief information officers and their staff, I'm wondering if you have any particular messages that you would want to convey to them about what's next around the corner, what are the challenges of implementing, what steps should they be taking to make sure that their hospital isn't left behind and remains on the cutting edge of where tech is today?
Well, I think, I'm sorry, I'll just interrupt, just to quickly suggest they go on social media and tap into these various communities on Twitter and LinkedIn around med tech and medical innovation and their amazing peers and colleagues and communities and organizations that are out there on social media, connecting, educating, sharing insights, and networking. And so it really is the upside of social media to counter the all the bad sides that we hear about every day. So Irma, what do you think?
Well, it's a great segue. I'll ask for one thing that you hear a lot about on social media from patients and patient advocates and families: access to patient records. Give us full access to our own medical records, make them interoperable so it's actually possible to provide them to other healthcare systems, other providers for second opinions, for additional specialty care, et cetera. So I know interoperability has been talked about for years and years and years and years with the new legislation. It just happened. We're looking forward to that becoming a much more streamlined and easy process for patients. And that should definitely result in improved patient care once we have full access to our own patient records.
Well, thank you. And this has been another episode of Healthy Data. We've been joined by our guest, Evan Kirstel, Chief Digital Evangelist and co-founder of Avira Health, and Irma Rastegaia, Chief Digital Storyteller and co-founder of Avira Health, speaking about trends in digital health in the United States, where new technology is creating new opportunities to add value within the healthcare delivery system. So, Evan, Irma, I'd like to thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.